happened.
When I opened my eyes, I saw her standing there. Although my table lamp was turned on, but the room was still relatively dim.
Nations or through 4D luck. 7 months and the month after is usually the time he has windfall after windfall.
And what's strange is that this orb suddenly just dove down and disappeared.
Because his back was turned to me, I couldn't see his face or what he was doing. He was just hunched over doing something.
Is anyone here? What did you find?
You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.
Ghost Stories series for 2023. This episode is one of my personal favorites. It's got that classic horror vibes in confessions such as Hell is Real, The Ghost Haven, Kain Pakcik of Telok Blangah, and The Man with No Mouth. In one of the featured confessions, the cemetery ritual video, we seem to have caught some anomalies on the footage. Our listeners want us to dissect and discuss this, so stay tuned for that. Is it ghost caught in video or just lens flare? All this and more on Supernatural Confessions podcast. Enjoy. Welcome to Friday Night Live, ladies and gentlemen. With us, your host, the Prince of Paranormal, Eugene Tay, and the immortal, Jonathan Lim.
We definitely cannot miss out some very important people who make our show possible. These are our patrons, Patreons. Yeah. Right, so patreon.com, Supernatural Confessions. We have Chua Elaine, Alsatian Adrian Chua, Yumiko Grimm, ZP Matt, Queen Lai, Lim Tek Chuan, Achilles Aries, Elwin Sensei VL, Casey Chan, Alexa O, which is a new name from a couple of weeks back, Janice Ang, new name this week, Wandering Spirits. We have Karina J, Joel Goh, Deborah Confield, Chia King To, Linda Hayden, Iliacs, Jesslyn N, Jess Neo, Jerry Fish, Bibi Teo, who I am getting a confession from on October, Friday the 13th, she's cooking misiam for me. And then with Tay Hak Hui, 2 cents. Restless Souls, Si Chia To, Grace Chai, Kenny Chia, Ron Jack Ong, Kenny Polaris, Nicholas Poa, Elvin Lim, Burke, B.A., Kerala, and a new name this week, Serene Tan. So if you want to join us as our Patreon, which you will get to hear my full behind-the-scenes stories. Sometimes I will share with you stuff when I'm on the case. And you just generally get a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I don't put generally online. Lah. Yeah. So good stuff all around.
Oh, there's someone from Sweden, VN, representing Sweden.
Oh, yay. Hello.
hello.
Yeah, I got some calls from Texas. I got another call from America. So the west side, the western people are tuning in.
The western people. Navi Network. Hi, John and Eugene. I'm new here because Jonathan never noticed me.
Ooh, Navi Network. Hey, Navi Network, guys, don't pretend. Nah. He's Ivan Goh, okay? I want to call you out. He's Ivan Goh and the moderator of our show. And I got to give Ivan Goh the props. He... one man attend all our shows every week without fail.
We need like a lifetime achievement award.
He's like the archiver. Like you tell him, hey Ivan, which episode did I talk about that? He will know. And Joel Goh as well. Joel Goh is another one. He created a very sneaky video of me getting spooked out. I think I'll find a video later if I can show you guys. It was brilliantly done. So Joel Goh, thank you. Ivan, thank you.
But if you are like Navi Network and feeling a bit like, hey, John and Eugene never read my comment, never answer my question, well, there is a way to deal with that.
See, there's a logo below. Beside the smiley face, there's a dollar sign and then a plus sign. Mm. You can ignore both of them, but the middle one is what you click and then you put in any amount of money and a big giant box will pop out. You can get our attention and put your comments and we will read it. We will read your comment, no matter how silly it is. If you put in money, we will read it and we will entertain it. But so far, you guys have done a really good job using that button. You put in emoticons, you want to give us some form of motivation. And we are very, very thankful for that. In fact, we have used that money for a good cause when we visited our friends in Kuala Lumpur. So if you're a Malaysian fan and you have put in some donations, we have put your money to good use.
Yeah, that's how we got there.
Yes, and you see, this is the group. Actually, this is just a part of the group. Yeah, because the rest of them came at night.
Yeah, people kept coming and going, so it was very hard to get one big shot. But this is quite early on. I can still see it was sunlight.
Yes. Okay. We arrived at 2:00. There are people there already, and I think we partied, tell ghost stories all the way till I lost track of time lah.
Till they wanted all of us out.
Yeah.
And it was a fascinating place, though. This wonderful place. I wish I could bring all our Singaporean SC fans there because it's such a gorgeous place. Creepy, creepy, and he has stories of his own. Ooh.
Why is Thor in the pic? You know, Carlos Cole, the same thing. And his girlfriend, or his wife, sorry, he said, please don't tell him that. I have to deal with that later on. Another good news this week. So I promise you guys, I will put this KL video clip together. It's just that by the time I got back on Tuesday, I've been rushing for the Friday show and everything in between. I just didn't have time to put it together. But it was a fantastic tour. A lot to talk about. I'm going to save that when the video is out so we can be excited together. Now I'm excited. I own self one person, excited only. You don't get it. So I make the video first, then you all will know. Now, the next celebration I have is, John, the Ghost King video last week.
Yeah.
We went from 0 to 150,000 views in a week.
Wow.
Big deal because it's our first video in all of SC history that hit 150,000 that fast.
Wow.
Big thank you to my translator and the woman who actually made this possible because she picked up the phone, she tracked Ghost King down and she got the driver. I just went down to film and hold. So big thank you and props to Grace Chai, RSVP by Grace, who made that possible. And quite frankly, the interpretation was very much needed.
And I think you must thank the Ghost King as well.
And the Ghost King as well, yes. Yeah. So he did ask me to go back down to Penang again. So I know there are some fans who are in Penang. And
it'll be fun.
And he has said, you want to see hell? I'll bring you down to see hell.
And it's in Penang.
Realme is asking, got Malaysia group? Yes, sir, there's Malaysian group. In fact, Eunice, could you please do the honours and help me put the number up so that those who are in Malaysia, who do not know that we have a Malaysia WhatsApp group, can join us. Yes. Sorry, only +60 get to join. +65, you all don't get. You don't.
Yeah. See lah. Separate lah. Independence lah. Meanwhile, a big thank you to Achilles Aries for your donation. And he says, hey, Eugene, can shout out to my wife, Meninda, her first Friday Night Live.
Hello, Meninda. Welcome to Friday Night Live.
I hope there'll be a second. But thank you.
Otherwise, she was here. Better not hang out with these two guys. They are bad influence on you. You know?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Is there someone else? Raven also. Raven, thank you for your blessings. Here's an example. Thank you. That's how it's done. You click the dollar sign and that's how it looks like. Raven wanted to give you an example. If you put money on it. Thank you, Raven.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, lovely. Okay, wait, let me get my chat back. My chat disappeared.
Today we got no featured because quite frankly, I didn't want to rush through just cutting something and putting it out there. I want it to be of quality. So we are not rushing to end. So we can end about 11:45.
Nice.
We got 4 confessions, so videos to look at, maybe even 12 o'clock.
Can lah. I think some of the stuff we're going to share about tonight is quite worth discussing because I've got ideas. I think you've got opposing ideas. So let's see where this leads to,
Okay. So perhaps I should read first then.
Okay, Ken. Yeah. You start us off.
Okay. This story is confessed by Soto Mate Kurasai. My video got problem.
Okay.
Oh yeah. I like that. See like this Elvin. I blame Elvin.
Since he's not here, why not?
This one is from a friend of mine, a gamer friend. Very holy, holy, everything, you know, thank God, thank God. So his name is KS for short. I didn't want to reveal his full name. But he told me hell is real. And I was like, okay, this is a conversation we need to have. And then he confessed his story, which was quite rare. And I do enjoy this one. I think we would have a lot to talk about, including you guys watching at home. What do you think of this? Mm. Yeah, I think in the confession, he did pose a mini challenge to us, John.
Yeah, I'm waiting to respond to the challenge.
Okay, let's go. This one is Hell is Real, confession by KS. I used to work for one of the local papers covering sensational stories. Some of the news I had to cover involved death by accidents, suicide, and drowning. I'm a Christian and also Chinese. Though I'm respectful of the customs, I don't partake in it, nor do I subscribe to the idea of 18 hells. I was listening to what you and John said the other day on a show that heaven and hell have different versions for different people based on their beliefs. I think I managed to debunk it. I have a story that might just prove you wrong. One of the stories I was sent to cover involved a suicide of a Filipino maid that took place during the 7 month, one of the notorious estates of the north that is known for frequent jumpers. In most religions that I am aware of, suicide is unacceptable. The soul either lingers in between worlds or they are sent to purgatory. I think on this assignment, I must have brought something back with me, because that very night I got home, I had a series of nightmares. I started getting visions from the point of view of the person walking to the ledge and jumping off. The nightmare repeated itself night after night for over a week. I can't see the face because I'm looking through the person's eyes, but from the dressing, I can recognize it was the body of the maid. I wasn't as afraid, to be honest. I took it as a sign that she was blessing me with the story to report her death. The dream stopped for a week, but the following week, I started having horrendous visions, and this one scared me. I would drift in and out of my dream state, even in the day. I resorted to carrying my Bible with me everywhere I go and read the verses to keep my mind active. The minute my mind goes into a relaxed state, I would slip into a semi-sleep state and the visions would come again. I see the maid this time, not through her eyes, standing in my peripheral vision or in the corner of my room, seeming to communicate with me, except she has no head. One night, I plucked up the courage to confront her. I prayed for strength and guidance and mentally readied myself for a visit. Instead of letting her find me in my sleep, I closed my eyes and recited the Lord's Prayer over and over. It took quite a while, actually. I would say almost half an hour until I felt a shift in my mind. When I opened my eyes, I saw her standing there. Although my table lamp was turned on, but the room was still relatively dim, I could see her clearly as if her light source came from somewhere else. I felt she wanted me to see something. She's been trying to communicate for days, but I wouldn't let her come close. This time, somehow I felt more ready. Strangely, I wasn't afraid. In my heart, I agreed. Agreed to what? I can't tell. But immediately after I agreed, the scene changed and I was in an area I can only describe as hell. The cries and the wails were very chilling. And then I saw there was a stone altar and a head was on the altar / pedestal and chained to it. Around her are creatures with animal heads, quite grotesque looking and misshapen. I recognize the environment to be something out of the Haupa Villa exhibit. It's not quite that, but, well, that's the closest description I can give you. I knew then that she was being punished and her head was removed, even though her body could roam earth, but she would be in perpetual hunger. A voice boomed, "You shouldn't be here." Then I flew back into my body and I woke up. The dream still occurred the next few days, but each time it came, I just prayed it away. After the 7 month festival ended, the dreams and vision also went away.
Interesting.
Nice, huh? This one? Quite different. Quite different. I wasn't expecting this.
Yes. Come, Nancy Drew, come on the case.
What do you guys think? Let us know what you think. This one, we should all get in on this, guys.
Yeah. So, was he getting a glimpse of hell? Was the maid showing him something? Why was she showing him that? You know, what were his visions? Something coming from her? Or were they something coming from himself? Ah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Eugene? Come. It cannot be the jinn. So, you have to start from scratch.
I'm looking at all the comments just flying upwards. People saying no sound and everything.
Yeah, that was like boom.
Yeah. you all are very nice, no? You all have a private concierge. So Grace came to my room, knocked on my door and said, no sound! Then she left.
Okay, but Eli X is so smart. SG $2 to shout.
Wow.
Stop, no sound!
Come here. That's how you do it. That's how you tell me no sound.
Well, imagine if every single one of you put in $2 to tell us no sound, well, I win.
Okay, this one, huh?
Okay, yeah.
This one.
What do you think? Yeah, and you know the guy, right? So you have a little bit more background. You don't have to share, but you know, knowing him, right? You know,
is not the kind that would engage in our kind of discussion. If you talk about ghosts, he's like, don't talk to me about it. And he did tell me before, it's not that I don't believe. I just don't want to give it the gravitas. And talking about it gives them that. So he don't talk about it. So for him to actually come up with this confession, and of course he doesn't want to be filmed, doesn't want to be recorded. He just won't tell it to me and I have to rewrite it. Doesn't seem to be in line with his normal behavior. So I would imagine that he wasn't out to try to pull a fast one on me. He has no reason to. He only had that one encounter and asked him, is there any more? He said, no, just that one time. It was strange. And honestly, I have met other people who met ghosts and they were a lot more frightened. This guy seems a bit quite cool, quite chill. Oh, got ghosts. Frightening, but let's try to talk, see what you want. You know? So I don't sense a lot of making up shit. I don't sense of imagination here running wild. You know, he seems to be a very controlled person. He talks in this way. So for him to see hell, and I think his idea of hell is not the Haapa Villa hell. So for those who are watching from Sweden or Australia, Haapa Villa is a tourist spot in Singapore where it's known for having a hell exhibit. John, you probably know this better. You want to tell us about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a place that has lots of Chinese myths and legends portrayed in dioramas, but one of the most famous ones depicts the 10 courts of hell, where you learn who judges each court and what the punishments are for various sins. So it's a journey through hell, built in concrete and quite graphic. Lots of decapitations and people sliced in half and crushed under stones and all that. So very vivid. Right. Anyone who has visited it before, definitely if you visited as a child, it would have stuck in your memory. It's the stuff of nightmares for sure.
Yeah. See, Connie Ann May is saying that it could be his subconscious mind during the 7th month leading the writer / journalist to keep having dreams. But he has been covering such stories for a long time and he didn't have any experience before or since then. That seems to be the only one case.
But that's Anna May's point, right? That it's because it's 7 months. That he's having an alertness to the supernatural things. And so he's thinking more than he would normally.
Yes, right? But he also did say, I don't follow the custom. So unlike people like you guys watching and us who, 7 months, pantang, right? He's not that, you see. So it's not top of mind.
Okay. I want to come back to this statement of yours, right? Okay, in a moment. But I want to ask, okay, so he laid out a challenge, right? You know, he says, you know, based on what Eugene and I said previously about there possibly being different sort of types or different types of hell, right? Depending on what you believe in, right? And then you go to wherever your hell is waiting. So he thinks that this might debunk that. What do you think he means, Eugene, since you know him better? What is the debunk here?
Okay, so I know this a bit better because he was like, hey, you and John say you know heaven and hell based on belief. So which what's trying to say is my idea of hell and his idea of biblical hell is different. And my idea of heaven and his idea of biblical heaven is different. So but he's seen, in short of a better word, my hell. the 18 chords, uh-huh. 10 levels, right? He's seen that. Right. Whereas he should be probably seeing the Dante's Inferno kind of hell.
Right.
And we say that, you know, Chinese or Taoist, if you believe in the afterlife that way, then you will go into that version of hell. But this was an Indian lady, and we can assume she's either probably Hindu, right? Or at least the Indian god side and not the Taoist side. So he's Christian, that's Hindu, but she's in a Chinese hell and he can see the Chinese hell cross culture. Right. Mm. So he's like, not true. Mm. I can, you know, it's Indian girl still in Chinese hell. That means your idea of personal belief doesn't make sense.
So underlying that challenge, is he trying to say that by debunking our theory, he's saying that there's only one hell and it's the Chinese hell?
I thought of that. I didn't want to tell it to him then, but I was saving it for tonight.
The Yama King will be so proud of you. You get a medal.
When he told me that, I was like, yeah, so let me... The Yama one is correct. Like, the Dante one, not so.
Wow. Oh dear. Okay, wait. First of all, before it disappears too hard in the scrolling, thank you, Missy Sam, for your donation for the private concierge, Grace. Oh, okay. So what do you guys think about this debunk, right? You know, does it really sort of prove that Eugene and I have got our theories all jumbled up? You know, is it possible that the Chinese hell rules all? That's quite... China would love it. Okay. My personal take on it, right, is quite straightforward. This KS, right, he is Chinese, right? Right, he's Chinese. And you pointed out earlier that, you know, you said he doesn't follow the rituals. Mm. He doesn't do anything particularly he doesn't do the things that Taoist believers would do. Right? His belief system is Christian. His rituals are Christian, right?
Yeah.
But two things I noticed straight away.
Mm.
One is that he was very early on saying that he felt something followed him back.
Mm.
That's not very Christian thinking.
That's the Singaporean side.
That's my grandma. That's my grandma. Okay. And then straight away, you know, when my grandma says things like that, her Christian friends will tell her, no, don't think like that. Right? So that's the first thing. And then there was the, okay. Then the other point also. Oh no. Okay, wait. I wrote it down and I've lost it now. I lost my point. Here, right? So when he saw this hell, right, and he saw her image and all that, he straight away jumped to the animal heads of Haw Par Villa, right? And he imagined her being in perpetual hunger. So it looks like all the material that you are drawing your assumptions from are Taoist.
Because at the end of the day, he is Singaporean and he has seen Haw Par Villa. So even if he doesn't believe, he has heard or it's there in the subconscious mind, somewhere there, right?
Correct. Mm. It is the hell that is default in your mind, even though you may be living your life Christian.
Mm.
But what is the default hell that you remember, that you relate to? If I were to throw someone from Singapore into a truly Dante hell, you wouldn't recognize it.
Mm.
You wouldn't recognize it at all, and your mind would struggle to make sense of it. Instead, this is the hell that you would remember, you would make sense of. So any vision coming to you, regardless of the intention of whoever sending it, will always be translated by the one receiving it.
Oh, so which means it's not really your belief, it's now your custom. Where you from? Singapore, is
it?
Haw Par Villa is your hell.
Correct. So Haw Par Villa has a lot to answer for, okay? It has shaped the nightmares of so many Singaporeans because that's your go-to image, right?
Yeah.
It's your go-to image. For so many Singaporeans, when I say things like Niu Tou Ma Mian, right? Ox face and horse head, they jump to Haw Par Villa straight away. Because how many have you seen otherwise? If you are not a regular temple goer, you may not have seen many statues or sculptures. That's the only one. Haw Par is every Chinese Singaporean's version of hell, like it or not. And even if you live a Christian life, unless you've seen, let's say, a lot of Christian hell, right, and imagery from there, otherwise you cannot overtake Haw Par Villa win one.
Yeah, maybe stay saying he may be Christian, but his DNA is still local Chinese. That's true. Mm. That's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you
yeah.
probably
so
brought
it's a
up
cultural
with
DNA.
Cultural DNA. Correct.
Cultural DNA, right? Mm. It goes deeper than you think. And for me, it's revealed by the fact that he feels very aware that things follow him home. And the 7 months seems to affect him. You know, so every part of him is screamingly Singaporean.
Yeah, you know? that's right.
And I think that's absolutely fine because you know that's the joy of living in Singapore, right? That it's overlapping cultures and overlapping awareness, right?
Yeah.
You know?
So sorry guys, there's no Dante Inferno for you. It's the Haw Par Villa.
We are all in Haw Par Villa. Mm. Oh dear. Okay, Fat Zombie Movies is saying, my hell would be being stuck in immigration queue for eternity. Yeah, see, that's what personal hells are. Okay. Okay, Achilles Aries, thanks for your donation. He says, in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it says that after death, the power of your mind is magnified 30 times. So what you believe is hell or heaven materializes for you.
Mm, ah. 30 times.
I like the logic of that. Absolutely true. Because as you are letting go of the real world, the tangible world, right? Your mind gives all its power to the imaginary world.
Mm,
right? Mm. Remember we talked about this before when we talked about our near-death experiences,
yes,
right?
Yes.
In the short time before you leave this life, you sort of feel that this reality is slipping away.
Mm.
And then you suddenly get visits from like, you know, long dead people and visions. And those things become more real. Because you are transitioning into a different state of existence. Mm. You're saying bye-bye to solid objects and familiar people. And you're just moving on, right? So, yes, it totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. Thanks for sharing that.
Alexandra Brina also added on to that. 100 times including wisdom, body is a prison.
Yep, absolutely true. Isabella Rosta, my hell would be my old workplace.
I don't know lah. I mean, Alexandra Brina, your body is a prison. Mine is a temple.
Oh. He says, imprisoned in his temple. Okay, Jujube is late. Why are you so late? Okay.
Okay. Come. Now, next confession, shall we?
Sure. Okay.
But
just because we move on to a new confession doesn't mean you can't still add your opinions. So please keep the conversation going in the chat. If you have thoughts about hell, your hell, other people's hell, or how you can cross over and visit other hells.
What would be your hell? What would be hell for you?
Wow, hard to say leh. I'm a bit of an introvert. So not a bit, like quite a bit. So a long time ago I read this phrase and I do believe in it very much. It says very simple phrase. Hell is other people.
Oh. Huh. Mm. Okay.
if there were no other people, there would be no hell. So,
Yeah, I can kind of get that. Yeah.
Some days I feel that very much. Mm. No, but hell is ultimately very subjective. La,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think it's easy to, I think of hell as one solid concept.
Mm.
You know, but in order for hell to be truly effective, it does have to be so fluid and so customized and so specific to any individual, right?
Mm.
You know, hell cannot be one block. They'll be very useless.
Yeah,
people can cope. People can cope with things, you know, that are sort of monolithic, yeah, right? But the moment something is adaptable to you, then it's very hard. It's very hard to escape.
That's like Hellraiser.
So different points in your life, it might be a different kind of hell, right?
Mm.
So there are those who believe that hell isn't a place. Hell is a state of living, you know, and many of us living now are already living in a partial hell.
Hey, that one, I can go on to that topic about how hell on earth. You know what? That I would say for another day because there is some belief system that says where we are living now as humans on this earth, in this life, in this body, this is hell. This is purgatory already. And we need to ascend from this. So, yeah, it could be.
It could well be.
We are born
well
into
be,
pain
right?
and suffering.
Because it's all these realms, again, are not absolute. There's no realm that is absolutely horrible and terrible, and there's no realm that's absolutely heavenly. It's just different grades. So, you know, the hell we're imagining is only hell because we think it's worse than here. Right? But if this is already the worst you can imagine, then you're there.
Well,
right?
Malina Tan, thank you for joining us live for the very first time. And now, before we, John, you read the confession, I have a short message for everyone.
Yay.
Supernatural Confessions was created as a safe space for people to share their paranormal encounters. If you or someone you know has a strange encounter to share, we want to hear about it. You can type it to us, send us a voice memo, or even meet me for a face-to-face interview. Visit supernaturalconfessions.com for more info. But every time I hear you laugh, I get into trouble.
Growing up, I would stay with my uncle at Tanglin Estate when my mom had to work late. He used to run a sintua, a home temple, praying to the monkey god. I would help around the house and learn a thing or two from him. Later on in life, I converted to Christianity and followed a different path from my family, but the lessons and stories remained in my heart. I have many stories to share with you, but this one I want to share has something to do with the last day of the 7th month. In the Chinese and Taoist belief, all the ghosts will be heralded back to hell on the closing of the festival, and there will be a big feast and lots of burning of offerings, last one for the road. But there would always be some ghosts that don't want to go back. That's when the hell guardians would come and find them and drag them back to hell for punishment. My uncle was not fond of the guardians very much. He said they got no mercy one, just blanket punish everyone without justice. So he took it upon himself to help some of these spirits, which he feels don't deserve the punishment. After the feast, depending on the nature of the spirits that come to find him, most he would reject. But those that he thinks deserve a second chance, he would hide them under his altar. I remember being a child, I didn't question much. Also, I felt uncle was doing a good deed. I would help him tie white thread under the four legs of the altar, and my uncle would chant some phrases and pass talismans all around. This was supposed to hide the ghosts. He would then tell me, no matter what I hear at night, don't come out. From my room, I would stay up at night, and I really can hear, like what people describe, the sound of chains and cries. That's when you know the guardians have arrived. Uncle would be sitting outside, and I could hear him talking in dialect to some people, but I couldn't hear any replies, so it would sound like he's talking to himself. My uncle doesn't have to work for a living. Most of his money comes from either donations or through 4D luck. 7 months and the month after is usually the time he has windfall after windfall. My uncle somehow knew when he was going to die and said better to enjoy when he can. He passed away peacefully in his bed at the age of 50. Every time during the 7 months, I will think back on my childhood and wonder if someone is doing for his spirit what he had done for the others. Nice man.
Nice man, huh?
Nice
I
man.
I like this one. I like this fella. He's like the guy who, come, you hide under here,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a resistance fight, 7 month resistance fighter. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
But I wonder how he judges who are the ones that are worthy and
never say
unworthy.
Because the confessor was too young to ask this kind of question. There was not much of that concept. He was just doing it for the uncle. But he knows, go inside the room, don't come out. And he could hear chains dragging, uncle talking. Yeah.
So he must have been negotiating with the with the guardians,
or nothing to see here. Move along,
distracting. Yeah, no, yeah, no, 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 nothing here. It's like, you know, when you watch those World War II movies, you know, and you have you have resistance hiding in the basement, right? Yeah. And the Nazis come, and you're like, yeah, come have more tea, you know, distract them.
I can't help but think, because you cannot hide this secret from the gods or the divine forever. You are but mortal men. There are some ways to, you know, play the loophole. Blind things, right?
Yeah.
But
when
you die and then you go to hell and there's this book and it opens up and go like, it seems that you have done this, right? Wouldn't you get punished?
No, because when you get to the ultimate final judgment, right? In other words, not middle management, you go to top management, right? Your final supreme judge, right? I think they can see the intention of what you're doing, right? And what he was doing was karmically good.
Wow.
Right, it may have been contrary to the existing laws at the moment, but that's human law, right? Or that's the guardian's law. But the divine law of karma, it was done out of kindness. It was done out of compassion. Compassion is never, ever cancelled out.
On the other hand, I also feel that in the underworld, in the Chinese, the Hapa Villa version of hell,
yes,
they are not very kind and they are not very just. It's like everyone just, you know, small lie, big lies, cut off, same. No. Oh, you minor crime, you major crime. No, you that level means that level.
Okay. So this is our way, our Chinese way of seeing things, right? Is yes, you told a lie, you get a smack, and then I give you a sweet because you told a lie for a good reason.
No such thing,
Yes.
Okay, I never get sweet one.
Because you never tell for a good reason. You only tell the lie for fun. Because the very existence of the Chinese hell, right, serves to illustrate that the evil needs to be cleansed, needs to be sorted out, right? But it doesn't damage the good. It doesn't detract from the good. So just because you have lived a good life doesn't mean you don't get punished. Because in that good life, you have done certain things that hurt certain people. Those debts must be paid. But the good karma is not cancelled out by the bad karma.
Okay, but also...
It's a different...
Don't forget, he keep winning 4D. So maybe he already cashing his karma. Cashing his good merit when he's alive.
In other words, it could totally be the fact that even though the guardian's not happy with him, because he's cheating in their game, but someone higher than the guardians has already been rewarding him all along.
Is that for a fact or is that a hypothesis?
No, because if you understand the Chinese cosmos, right, good deeds always get recognized. They just get recognized later and they always get recognized higher up. The guardians are only like the police constables or, you know, maybe, you know, the sergeants, right? But the superintendent at the top, you know, or the judge higher than that can see the intention behind. But doesn't mean that just because you meant good means you can get scot-free lah. No, of course not. You cheated, you sabotaged my constable, you know, you smacked my sergeant in the face, then you deserve a small punishment. But yes, these are two separate books. So your good karma and your bad karma are in two different columns in the accounting.
Okay.
They do not cancel each other out. That's why it's very neat. Otherwise, it's very hard to reincarnate.
Okay.
You know? So doing good deeds in slightly unofficial, sneaky ways, they are still good, but you will get punished for the sneaky ways. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, right? It's neither, we are not the kind of easy morality where good means all good, bad means all bad. No, it's always going to be a balance.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Makes sense?
Makes sense. So that means there's hope for all of us because no matter how bad we are, there is still time to catch up on the coming list.
Sure, you got lifetimes to go. Okay, a big thank you to Jason Lim for your donation. Yeah, here's a question. Why did the SC fam refuse to watch Silent FNL earlier with no audio? Because they cannot handle the eerie silence. We prefer haunting sound. If your idea of haunting sound is me and Eugene, then get ready to be haunted. Thank you, Jason.
Okay, very good.
What do you guys think? Yeah, I want to
see. Let's hear what you guys have to say.
Okay, N3P2, nice name, says, I think hell has geographical restrictions. Maybe different parts of the world have different types of hell manifesting for the dead. Egypt has Anubis, etc., etc. Yeah, I wonder how geography plays into this, right? Like, would a Chinese person living in Egypt still see Hapa Villa hell? Or I guess living there would kind of... You get involved in that kind of culture, right? And that would sort of, it depends on how long you live there, I guess, you know, and how much you believe in it, right? It's very hard to change core beliefs, right? The ones that got you first when you were a child, you know, those are the ones
the seed has planted. Yes.
Yeah. So even if you're living in a totally foreign land, I think you will have very, very private dreams of your own.
I like Alexa O is actually one of our patrons. She's saying, finally caught the live podcast. Welcome.
Welcome. Everyone sins opens the right to the devil to torture you when you're in hell. Everyone's sins are different, and therefore pain is different for every soul. That's what Edwin says. That is correct. Personal hell lah. Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, ooh, okay. All right, Ken. Now, I think we got two more confessions. Mm,
yes, we do.
Mm. You want to do the video or you want to do confessions next?
Let's do one more confession.
One
I think.
More, huh? All right. This one...
Hang in there for the videos coming to you soon.
This one, I like it also. This one is another feel-good seven-month story.
That's nice.
So the whole month, we scare you. The ending, we give you some feel-good story. Okay? I find stories like this extremely rare. So when I got this, I felt I need to tell it to you guys tonight. This one is the kind pakcik of Telok Blangah, profession by Fu. This one is not really a ghost story, but it's something I feel Supernatural Confessions listeners will appreciate. For Chinese Hungry Ghost Month, you usually see only Chinese burning offerings. And I remember you and John joked that Chinese ghosts only come out during this time. In Telok Blangah, where I live, there's an old man who would offer kemenyan for the spirits as well. He would sit down under the void deck with his burner and light up his kemenyan and pray. One day, I decided to sit with him and asked him what he was doing. Giving something to the hantu, he said with a laugh. They consume the smoke. I see you Chinese people buy chicken, buy babi all. And you think they can eat? Give ants eat only lah. They consume the offerings by smoke. Then you just think about what message and what things you want to give them. You direct it and say it to the smoke. They will receive it. He asked me once before if I wanted to see them. He can open my third eye. Of course, I said, you siawa. What do you think about this, Eugene and John? I would love to hear what your thoughts on this are.
I love this, yeah. What a very wise man.
Hmm.
You know, and again, one of those blessings about living in Singapore, right? You know, everything looks different, but then if you look deeper, think a little bit harder, you know, the common sense is there lah, underneath, right? The idea of offerings and devotion. You know, wow. Okay, I like.
Mm. Wow. So,
I agree. Mm. I agree. It's absolutely about the intention, right? So even though there are certain logistics about the rituals of offering and all that, you know, I mean, and they're important, you know, but the fundamental behind it is what is the intention, right?
Mm.
You know.
But it's another thing that he said. It's the smoke.
Mm.
The smoke was what is important, not the. The chicken, the babi that you buy. So then what? I think in some parts, that part is also true because when we burn, we say that through the burning is where they receive. So according to Pakcik, it's not the burning itself, but the smoke. But you can't have smoke without the fire. Right? So then in that case, when you are putting the $1,000 bill into the fire, I would imagine, again, taking Pakcik's concept, yeah, you have seen the money, and in your mind, you would have thought, I'm burning this for so and so. So that piece of paper that you are burning makes you think, and then you put it inside and goes. But for Pakcik, he says, so, I don't need to take the paper and burn. I just intend send it in.
Mm. I think he's more disciplined in his mind lah than average people. Average people, you need to see, then concentrate, you know. So the idea of burning a house, burning a car, you know, it serves to focus our intentions, right? You know, and sort of, you know, and also make you feel better about it, right? You know, some people have no imagination. When you ask them, you burn and imagine lah. You end up burning and then they receive nothing. It's like, why your imagination so weak? You know, so it's better to have something physical there to make sure that you're thinking the right thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay? Otherwise, don't know what nonsense they receive.
Chu CH is asking me why I don't wear my specs anymore. And someone was saying, what's my beanie? Okay, I'll show you my hair and my specs. Okay. And also to Chantel D, thank you for your blessings. This one is for you.
It's hell. Ayo, yeah. Okay. Yikes.
I don't know which way for it to comb anymore. It's like grass.
Yeah. Put the beanie back on. Oh. Okay. L is saying, with regards to offering of 3D objects, I think the spirits receive the energy of the items rather than the physical part of it. Yeah, absolutely true. You know, so it is the fire that activates that, you know, because otherwise they'll just go to the kimchua shop and help themselves to all the money that's lying on the shelves, right? Obviously, all that money is idle, right? It is the ritual and the burning that sets it free for them, at least, you know, that's the conversion process, right? Yeah. So the fire and the smoke have always been for all of humanity, right? You know, the way that human things become spiritual things, right? Even in Christianity, right? With the burning of incense and all that, you know, it's very fundamental. Maybe it's because we are also fascinated by smoke.
Yeah.
You know, and where it goes, you know, and that childhood fascination has led to all of these belief systems.
Someone was saying about smokeless fire, jinn and all that. So something to do with smoke. Yeah. Someone was saying Kamiyan, the spirits like Kamiyan. Yeah, yeah. So I think there's some truth to that. I think, okay, like in terms of as the Ministry of Supernatural Affairs, we do hereby accept Pakcik's theory on how spirits eat. And I think next year, 7 months, a lot of the paper business will be badly hit. No one's okay, Supernatural Confession said don't eat.
We have made a distinction just last week, in fact, right? Between the two types of offerings that we offer during 7 months, right? Right? The two types of food offerings. Sorry, right? The food offerings that lose their flavor and the food offerings that retain their flavor. So it's not just the smoke, or maybe it's not smoke per se, right? But, you know, as suggested, right, is the energy of it. So what so for those who missed out, right? You know, they believe that when you offer food to the haosyongti, right, to the departed, they do somehow consume something of it because the taste seems to disappear. People who have tasted the food afterwards distinctly say that it loses its flavor, whereas the same type of food offered for the gods retains its flavor. So both are consuming something that is not physically explainable or scientifically definable, and the gods obviously consume a more transient version of it. Maybe I would like to see it as this. The gods consume the thought of the food, so they leave the food as it is. They just like the idea, but the dead consume the essence of the food, which is the most important thing of it, which is the taste. But they still leave the physical, you know. But these two things are still, in a sense, what you send up in the smoke. Because when you burn it, it is the thought and the essence that become the smoke.
Okay.
What you're left with is ash.
Right? Sorry, I can't. I was smiling and laughing as you're telling it because I saw Jason Lim's joke.
Okay, tell.
You know, Jason Lim's our resident dead joke generator. I thought this one is quite interesting. Okay, John. How do you make a ghost laugh in the 10 courts of hell?
Don't know.
Tell a hilarious joke.
Nonsense, you. Nonsense. Okay.
I like this one. You know, I think we should start compiling Jason's joke every other week. Put it into a compilation. Thank you. Thank you, Jason, for that joke. Beautiful. I love that one.
Okay, I lost my thread. Never mind. Don't care. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so now it's 10:57, it's 11 o'clock. We got one last confessions to go to. And is there any other things that you guys want to tell us that we can read it out while John finds his thread? Otherwise, we will go to the videos of the cemetery ritual where we will ask for your help to tell us what you think it is. Oh, anyone? Is there no one else? Is there no one else? Okay. So let's look at the very first video. From my lack of facial expressions, the Ajahn probably felt I was skeptical of the powers and invited me to feel it for myself.
I saw someone move past the camera.
Okay, so this one I will tell you all what it is. He is casting a spell and he put the si peng on his lips. The si peng is the ingredient that he used for attraction magic. And he can make things attract or repel. So The previous video, if you watch it on the main feature, is attraction. This one, when I'm holding, is repelling. So I'm holding it, I'm checking it, I touched it. It's nothing but a piece of bamboo. Okay? Mm-hmm. So nothing special about it. But when I can I hear myself? Yeah. But when I held onto it, I could feel the energy vibration. Don't quite know how to explain it. Because I could see that it's not moving, it's not shaking. And for it to bend both outwards, the guy holding it and me must both cooperate to do it. But I was not moving at all. And I was not feeling the push from him where the thing goes out on its own. It just, whoop, and I could feel the vibration. Jojo Bay, love SC fam. Also, I'm a bit mabok lah. That's why I love everybody. I think Jojo Bay is drunk.
Drunk donation.
Yeah. Keep it coming. Okay, so that one. Anybody want to explain? If not, I'll take the Ajahn's word for it, where it is really his magic. So in his line, when he was explaining to me, he says, if I can do this to inanimate objects, guess what I can do to two human beings?
Wow.
So all your love spell, everything, huh? That's how it's done.
I see. You can hypnotize your rod, is it?
You can go, you can vibrate and go closer to
That's a good advertisement.
But then it'd be two rods coming together.
Oh dear, okay. Kinky lah, this Ajahn. Okay.
Okay, next one, huh?
Okay.
So anything to debunk? Nothing to debunk, huh? That one?
Cannot see from video lah, so cannot tell lah. I have to be there, have to be there in person.
Okay.
Yeah, have to feel the rod yourself.
Jeffrey is asking me, Eugene, you're puzzled. Is it possession? No. I wasn't possessed. I was just, ooh. No, I felt the vibration, so I went, ooh. Okay, this one.
This is the high quality raw footage I got from my contact. The flight pattern of this orb doesn't seem to me to be that of an insect or lens flare from the flame. And what is strange is that this orb suddenly just dove down and disappeared.
All right. So you saw that again? Want to see that one more time?
Yeah, of course. Not enough.
This is the high quality raw footage I got from my contact. The flight pattern of this orb doesn't seem to me to be that of an insect or lens flare from the flame. And what is strange is that this orb suddenly just dove down and disappeared.
You saw that one? Where it goes down and then disappear? So to me, that part, no, I can buy that it's lens flare. I can buy that it's insect. But for it to move, okay, when people say it was lens flare, why I think it's not is, I know lens flare. Lens flare will move with the fire. So you get that kind of wavy effect. This one moves like a dot flying around like a fly. So, okay, maybe we say insect. Huh? Insect reflecting light. But for it to dive down towards the amulet as the Ajahn is summoning it in, what is the likelihood of that happening?
I wonder if we are looking at different things, because I was looking at the bluish white light.
Which one?
Is the high quality raw.
Yeah, so there's this. You can see it. John, you can see where my cursor is, right? No, not the bluish white light. There's this thing flying around.
Okay. The small firefly.
Small firefly, I think. So let's say if it's a firefly, right? It hovers. Right? So it moves again, moves down, and so go to the right and straight down into the amulets.
Right. Okay, we got some comments here. Fusian is saying laser pointer. Okay, laser pointer. Achilles Aries, thank you for your donation. Very confident. Confirm, guarantee, chop hantu, he says. Elaine said, I can't see. Okay. Nikki points out that laser pointers are red, not white. I don't know. What do you? I mean, you were there, right? Did you see it yourself, or only in the footage?
Not with my eyes at all. It's only in the footage. Right. When I was there, frankly, I just sit there and nothing, no light, nothing at all. And I was looking out for things. Like, I was looking out for anything remotely flying, anything remotely emitting light. Nothing. It was total darkness. I mean, other than the fire from the light from the fire. And sometimes people handful when they look, which is very annoying because you're not supposed to
yeah,
you know, interfere with my recording, with your lights, you know. But even if it was a handphone light, it would not produce that.
So we've got various. So Isabella Rasta says looks like laser leh. Ajit Sidhu says hantu using laser pointer. Ah, that solves it. Hantu with a laser pointer.
Sam won't say very common. Okay. What's very common? The ghost very common or ops very common?
So what do you think it is? Given the way it moved and where it went, you say it went towards the talisman, right?
Yes.
So what do you think it was?
I can tell you what it isn't. I find it a bit hard to put a label on what it is. I can tell you it's not a firefly because I would be able to see firefly with my naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a insect, maybe. Insect needs to reflect light off something. I wasn't using a night vision or using my camera. Okay? And there's one part where if you notice, if it was an insect, it would not be able to hover. Let me see, where is it? Huh? Okay. Okay, it's flying now. And then it starts to hover. It starts to just hover there. See? It hovers. I'm pausing now, so if it's hovering, it's because I'm pausing, but you can see, let me just rewind a bit. It hovers there. It does not look like the flight pattern of an insect. So the part that got to me, where I go, likely to believe that it's possibly the hantu, is when it flies straight and into the amulet.
Right.
That's not a flight pattern of an insect. And a change of speed. If it was dust, again, dust does not flow that way at all. So, is it a hantu? We are summoning hantus. It is the graveyard. The entire intention of this ritual is to summon ghosts. So, if we are capturing that on video, then the closest thing I could put my finger on would be hantu.
I'm skeptical only because of all the hantu that we have talked about and we have, you know, been discussing for such a long time, none of them look like orbs of light. Why are you summoning a hantu firefly?
Remember the last time I told you I went to India last year and Murali summoned the souls and fireflies came, remember? But it's fireflies. That's really fireflies. I could see my naked eye.
Yeah, so that's not the same thing. No. Yeah. But, you know, I've never seen not that I've seen a full-fledged hantu, but those of us who have seen hantu, they don't look like fireflies, you know. So it's a strange form for the hantu to be taking, especially among people who are ready to see it in any form, right? If it appeared head or no head, leg or no leg, you know, you're ready for it. You're ready for it. These are people who have seen Hell Guardians and seen all that. So what is this pinpoint of light?
Okay, then maybe you might be a low-level ghost that cannot manifest. You come in a form of an energy light.
And yet, you are the only one that managed to come? Because...
Or maybe
all that chanting, one low-level ghost.
Or maybe it's not one low-level ghost. Maybe it's like 100 ghosts coming together into one small light. That's the amount of energy 100 ghosts can emit. TTB says, thank you for your blessings, TTB. It's confirmed lens flare lah. The person holding on top the phone did move. That's me. I was the one holding. No, not me. Yep. Somebody else. This was sent to me. And it's typical for iPhones. I always get that. Maybe.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminded me of, you know how sometimes, right, when you're staring towards the bright sources of light, like staring towards sunlight, and you can see small particles floating in front of your eye, on the surface of your retina. That's the way it moved. It sometimes moves, it circles, it stays for a while, it moves again. It's not really flight because it's drifting across the surface, right? And I'm wondering if the same thing also happens on the surface of lenses.
Our lens.
Yep. Particles that are not really stuck to the lens, but are sort of near the surface of the lens, right? And because there's air currents, there's movement, they're sort of just tumbling down the surface of the lens.
Maybe.
Then they stick for a while. Then after that, the wind blow, they fly away.
Maybe.
Right? And if it catches the light, it might happen, right?
And let's take a look at the next video. Jason Lim just sent another joke, but I'll tell the joke later, okay? I'll tell the joke after I show you two more video exhibits. This one's a bit harder to explain. So I hear you on the dust on the lens, John.
Mm.
But take a look at this.
More clear. Okay, right, you describe things so I can
understand. This one, Achan sitting here, right? Mm. This one is the besting place, you see? Same, when you open, you see this one? You see? This one, face, you saw? With the hair.
So lady ghost.
Yeah. Obvious, right?
Yeah, I pause.
Can
you see? It looks like a face. It looks like a face with hair and nose and mouth. John, what do you think?
My first thought is it's more exciting with the red circles. I guess that's why people draw them. Looking at these videos without the circles is so much harder. Okay. I must say it does look like the face. Right? It certainly has the image of a face on there with the hair, with the fringe all. But then again, it only became a face when someone said face.
Yes.
Before that, it was just,
Yes, you're right.
Patterns of light, you know. So I'm not sure how much of it is suggested.
Oh, oops.
You know? What do you guys think? Is it a face?
Okay. Yeah, so when it comes to photos, it's always very easy to... Hard to prove, easy to debunk. Now, when I looked at it as well, I'm like, face, where? I couldn't tell. Is it there, the face? I'm like, got hair. This evidence to me is the one that is hardest to prove.
Right.
Here's the big part. What? Along with the op coming in, and he said there's a spirit of the ghost there, and then this photo is taken, it's a higher likelihood. But it's not something that I would even as a must be the hantu buy it quite easily. You get what I mean?
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's important to bear in mind that now all human beings suffer from what they call pareidolia. Pareidolia is the human instinct to seek faces in everyday objects, right? Or at least seek shapes. When you look at clouds and you see, Snoopy or whatever, right? That's part of pareidolia, right? It's trying to turn things that have no meaning into things that have meaning. So it could be our overactive sense of pareidolia, since we are looking at something that should have ghosts, should be haunted, should be spooky. Then your mind is acting, is working at double time, trying to find images. So it could be that. It could be that. What do you guys think?
I think most
Espera,
of...
I really don't see it.
I think people are not convinced. Not convinced, this one.
See, never draw circle.
One more.
Drawing circle confirms things.
Pareidolia. Pareidolia. Okay.
Pareidolia. Yeah, pareidolia. That's right. Thank you, anime.
Okay. Now let's look at
Bina says smoke and shadow are always misleading and misinterpreting. Yeah, true. Sometimes they could be true, but so many times they could not. So hard to say,
Okay, come on. This one. I got two more. I saved the best for last.
All right, come on.
Okay, pause it here. Can you see? I'm gonna make it bigger, We don't need to see him burning, lah. Okay, the action is here. Yeah, I enlarge for you, John. Okay, here. Can see? Rewind. See the two things flying there? Up there?
Yeah, I see something.
Yeah. So, how do you explain that? That to me looks like spirits flying around. I'll play it for you again. On a tree side, you see? Like there's lights, two lights moving around. So just like you said, only one hantu appeared. Now got two hantu making appearance. Nikki is saying this is spirit animals.
That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, definitely it's mysterious.
See? Very clear. This one is very clear. Look at this. How do you explain this, John?
There are other light-emitting insects than fireflies, Fireflies are the one that we are familiar with. So it could be that it's a much smaller insect that is small enough that you don't see it because it's, smaller than a firefly, but able to be seen by the camera.
Someone's saying it's a lens flare again. Could be fire reflection. Maybe.
Was there ash?
There is like you're burning things.
Then quite possible also, right?
But fire reflection, right? Does it appear as an orb? No, I get what you mean as fire reflection, guys. I get it. But
I mean, okay, to be very honest, none of these appear like orbs because they're just points.
Yeah.
It's a pinpoint. It's not an orb. It's way too small, right? So it's really, there's so little surface area to debate over because it's such a tiny thing. It could be anything. It could be a spark, you know, caught up in a pattern of wind, you know. Unless you observe it for long enough, you know, long enough to understand its pattern of movement, to understand where it's going to, you know. Hard to say. In a brief glimpse like that, could be anything. It seems to be more than a lens flare this time or dust on the lens. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, hard to say leh.
Frankie, that can be. Aaron says no. If the smoke reflecting with lights from reflecting item appears this way, can you play slow mo? Well, play slow mo. I have to manually move the thing slow mo lah. I cannot move slow mo. Sorry, this is the best I can do.
How high up is that?
Up the tree. Up the tree. See if I make the thing smaller. Make it smaller. It's up. It's up in the tree.
Right.
See? Up there.
But there's no sense of dimension. It's just up there.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's all dark and black, so I really.
Yeah, so it could be right in front of your camera, just inches above your lens.
Mr. David says, too many to be coincidences, to be honest. Now, I'll show you the last one. This one, okay. I don't have an answer, okay? This one, I really need you guys to tell me what it is. Saw that?
No.
Okay. Okay, again. See not? See the green light? Okay, I expand. Because I use the original footage. This is all original high quality footage. No zoom in, no filter, nothing at all. Okay. Can see?
Yeah.
Then it zoom. Okay, it's an unk, or is it a ghost with two hands and a head?
Ionia, or is it a constellation of very tiny stars? Okay, what do you guys think? This is the ultimate one, right? From that outing, right? Yeah.
If you said burning lens flare, I get it, but you see, this is just simmering flames, not burning flames. You say insect flying, okay, sure. Now this one,
it looks like the tail of something bright, filmed in slow mo lah. That's what it looks like lah. Right, you know those TikToks they do, right? Then you wave the like stick, you get all that. You know, it has that kind of look. But what was causing it? Hard to say. It appeared very briefly. Where was it heading towards? Where's that bit extending towards? What's back there?
The grave.
A grave.
The tomb.
Oh, well.
The tomb. That's where the tomb is. It's coming from the tomb.
What do you guys think? Was it something returning home to its tomb?
Yo, I like this one. This one is, of all the evidence that we caught, right? To me, this one is, I have a problem trying to even say what it's not.
You know? Say what it's not.
Yeah. It's definitely not all the insects, the dust, the lens flare that I could possibly think of. I mean, maybe my knowledge of science is probably limited, but I have no explanation. This one.
Okay, so Sin has an interesting idea. That looks like a vine that someone shined light on. It could be a creeper, right? It has the shape of a tank, you know, like those morning glory creepers. You know, and then if it caught the light for a split second,
except
that might
be
it.
Yeah, except that I'm there and there's no creepers in that place. Because see, look at the pot there. This is the area where they are doing the praying, and there's nothing above it. It's clear in front of them. Mm. Clear. There's no creepers, no plants, nothing hanging. It's an open, you know, like in front of the grave is all concrete, right?
Right.
So that's the concrete. Where it's floating is from the tomb to the across the concrete part to where the fire is, where it's burning the Yeah. I put up a poll asking, do you think we managed to catch Hantu in these videos?
What's the result?
64% says yes. 36% nice. Says no.
Well, Juju Bay, thanks for your donation. She says, looks like a noose.
Can this be seen with naked eye? No, Sean Chen, it cannot be seen. A light like this, it will be very, very obvious. No, we cannot see.
I tell you what my dilemma always is, right? If you showed me the footage of this ritual, right, and the summoning, and tell me that that spirits were being summoned, I would fully believe you.
Say again?
If you show me this video and tell me that spirits were summoned,
ah,
you know, and there was movement between the tomb and the talisman, and you know, there was stuff going on in the air, I would believe you. The moment you show me that this point of light is meant to be all that, I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds a lot less exciting than what I was willing to believe. So now I have to judge. I was willing to give you faith. But because you want me to look at one thing and say, yeah, that's it, in the whole graveyard, that little dot of light, that's what you summon. I'm like, nah, come on. I give the master more credit than that. Okay, yeah, if you show me the whole sky full of blazing lights, I'll go, yeah, that's more like what I believe. So to me, it is the sheer contrast between how awesome this ritual, you know, and the supernatural effect of it should be versus the little tiny scrap of proof.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to believe. Not because I'm being rational, but because it's disappointing. A cemetery with one light in it is like, yeah, can we go to another cemetery, please?
Okay, but then again, right, let's take a look at the result of the ritual. The result of the ritual was supposed to, at the end of it, they asked for 40. If you guys have not watched the video, please go check it out on our YouTube channel. It's Cemetery Ritual. It's just out 2 weeks ago. Go and check it out. Watch it to the very end. They asked for a number. I film it all, no? There were four numbers. And of course, you need to go and permutation the numbers. Like, it's not just a...
And did you...
I didn't. I was so tempted, John. I was so tempted.
Your faith is weak.
But I did not. Huh? And the numbers came out first prize 2 days later.
Wow.
Then the following few weeks, consolation prize. Last week, when I was cutting this video, just putting this out, I think Wednesday, it came out first prize again.
See?
First prize, guys. So, do we want to believe? Do we not want to believe? Is one dot too little for a ghost? But the end result of the ritual, if we say coincidence, right? Let's go with coincidence. There's just too many coincidences here.
Oh, no. I'm not doubting the 4D. I'm believing in the 4D. I'm just doubting in the points of light.
Yeah.
I don't think that point of light is connected to the 4D. You know, there's a huge logic to what's happening. I don't need to see it happen. I'm willing to believe in the result of it. But when you pin it down and say it's this one thing, that's too small for me. It's too small for me. My belief in the supernatural is bigger than a point of light.
There got big one, got big one. See, I'll show you the big one. This one, yeah? Big one. See, got, wow, talky, yeah. One face.
So anyone who agrees with me, please shout out, okay? Or if you're really convinced that those points of light are the supernatural manifested, okay, please tell us more. Tell us why you think so. All right, it's an ongoing debate, right? Orbs and points of light are always, I think, quite a divisive issue. You know, John, even for those who want to believe.
Yeah, orbs lah. Orbs and faces is hard, but the result is hard to hard to refute. Sean Lim is asking, got video.
I used to feel. Okay, yeah. You save us.
Sean Lim asking, got video of the numbers? Yes, go watch the video. There's the numbers there. It's
but
all
the
there.
Timing still expired already, lah.
No, but it just came out this Wednesday again.
Oh, okay, lah. Then keep buying, man.
So, I mean, as long as the video is being shown, maybe the magic just.
No, okay, I want to share what I used to think, right? And I think maybe that is what colors my belief up to this day, right? When I first started, in the early days of the internet, right, those of us who are immortal know, remember those times, right? And the last time, the only thing you can find on the internet about ghosts is all these Western videos of orbs seen in the graveyard, orbs seen in the don't know where, you know, in the haunted castle. You know? And then I always thought to myself, wow, these Westerners very sad. Leh. We see Pontianak, we see Pochong, we see headless this, headless that. All you get are orbs. so sad to be a ghost hunter in America or in the UK. You know, all you see are points of light. It's like, ah, sad.
Yeah.
You know? So now when I'm fully into it with you guys, and then suddenly these same ops come back, I'm like, I thought we left this behind, man.
I think John is jaded already. He's like, you know,
Come on, man.
So yeah. Western. Give me the white gown, long hair, man. White gown, long hair. Come on. Ah, I believe.
Hello, tonight's confession is what? Mate with no head standing in the corner of your room. Okay, we are way beyond orbs. Right? We are way beyond orbs.
Yeah, yeah.
So to me, they seem a little bit like a different concept of the supernatural. You know, it could be entirely that they are. It's energy, maybe. They're not ghosts. Maybe it's energy that has no other form, you know?
Mm.
And that I could probably buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so maybe, you know, anyone who's out there who knows more about the possible origins or definitions of these lights, are they ghost souls or are they energies or what? Let us know.
Okay, so I want to read Jason Lim's joke lah. He had one.
Oh, okay. Where did it disappear to?
Trying to find it.
Everyone's trying to guess the time of the 14K modem. Yes, Myrtle, you are right. Wes also got headless ghost. That is very true. That is very true.
Hey, it's his joke. Hey, alamak, sorry.
Huh?
Jason, lost the joke.
How come? Oh, okay.
Wait.
Keep scrolling lah. Sure, got on. Okay, there was another donation from Achilles. I showed this video to a master. He said it was real, but the negative karma from doing this for using the hantu is also very real. Ah, yeah. In other words, getting the 4D numbers this way has negative karma. So beware.
Sorry, Jason. I wanted to save your jokes for now, but then I cannot find it anymore. But I know. Thank you for your blessings. You put $10 in there and you told a joke. What I'll do is because I love your joke so much. I'm a big fan of Jason that joke Lim. I'm going to go through all the previous videos and put together a compilation of your jokes. But very sorry, I cannot read that now. It's just totally gone from my... Cecilia Pang just came in as well.
Oh. Yay, her first super chat. Thank you, Cecilia. Oh, Ivan is challenging me. Ivan says, Western got Skinwalker, Asia don't have, right?
Skinwalker Ranch.
There's only like one corner of America only la.
Is there one in like Philippines that's similar to Skinwalker?
Which one?
Oh, there's one. I can't remember. Offhand.
I know the horse spirit. What's his name?
Tikbalang can
change shape.
Yeah, so that's closest to it.
Yeah, I think we don't need Skinwalkers because all our hantu are Skinwalkers, right? They take so many forms. Come on.
Okay, Jason Lim is back.
Yeah, okay, that's a joke.
I read out to you. Don't look at the answer.
Okay, you read.
What did the ghost op say to the other ghost op at the cemetery?
Don't know.
Let's light up the dance floor. Super hilarious. That's my favorite.
Yes, hilarious was better.
So who laugh, who take shots, go Eugene house for that joke episode. Why my house? Okay, so 64% of you believe it's the hantu. We have a clear winner. As clear as Taman. I mean, Taman
not back. As clear as 10% of less than Taman. So, speaking of skinwalkers. No, okay, anyway.
Okay, John, the next one. This one is yours. Right? Last one.
Yes, let me fish.
This one my favorite. I like this one. Sure.
Okay, what's the background? Who is the confessor?
Okay, this confessor, I don't know him personally. He's not a friend of mine. He just wanted to confess and I took his confession.
Mm.
This one is titled The Man With No Mouth, but I wasn't too afraid of even revealing the title to you because the entire story is damn short.
Keras, huh?
Keras. Then if you listen to John's voice reading this, double keras. Keras, keras, kau, kau.
Let's go. Eugene, thanks for sharing the 7-month ghost stories. It's nice to know that there are others who had similar experiences as well. I only have one experience in life, and I would like to confess that experience. This happened some many years back, but I'm reminded of this incident every time 7-month comes round. Back then, I was still living in Bukit Ho Swee. And during the 7-month timing, the common area under my block will be lit up with candles and burnt offerings. As what you spoke about on the podcast, about what to avoid during the Hungry Ghost Month, I also heard from my grandparents to avoid the offerings and not to even look at the flame, just in case I spot something and something spotted me looking and decide to follow me back. But even being so careful also was not foolproof enough. To avoid the offerings area, I will walk by the back of the block near the rubbish chute area to get to my lift lobby. I will take this route for the entire month actually. But one night, nearing the end of the 7 month, I spotted a man clad in singlet and shorts squatting near the rubbish chute area. Being curious more than afraid, I kept on looking, wondering what's he up to. Because his back was turned to me, I couldn't see his face or what he was doing. He was just hunched over doing something. My first thought was that the person was glue sniffing. You can imagine the posture. Being kepo, I kept walking with my head turned. Then I realized that I was facing perpendicular to my body. One more pantang that my grandparents told me was not to turn your head over your shoulder because it would extinguish the flame and make you vulnerable. Realizing this a bit too late, I quickly turned back to face front and continued walking. But when I looked ahead, the place had changed. The buildings, the structures, they were there, but there was no one around. And there was no more noise, just an eerie, high-pitched tone in the air. I walked quickly to my lift lobby and jammed on the lift call button, but the lift still stayed up on the 9th floor and would not come down. I decided to take the stairs. When I got to the 3rd floor staircase landing, I saw the same man again, squatting by the corner. I stopped in my tracks. Slowly, he got up and turned around. And this sight I will never forget. I recognized from the top half of his features that he was one of the neighborhood uncles. But the bottom half, where the mouth should have been, was gone. I don't mean that he had no jaw. I mean gone as in there's no mouth where the mouth should be. There was only a small gap where I could run past him and hope that he doesn't suddenly run towards me like in those zombie movies. I ran as fast as I could and I didn't look back until I reached home. When I got home, first thing I did was went straight to the toilet to shower with my clothes on. I didn't want the thing to follow me. It was only about 10 p.m., so still relatively early. My grandparents were still awake. They just watched me without saying a word. When I got out of the bathroom, my grandma said to go to the altar and light 3 joss sticks and pray. She said, "Don't say anything. Go sleep first. Tomorrow then talk." That night, I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I could see his face. Eventually, I dozed off around 6 a.m. when the sky was turning bright. The next morning, over breakfast, my grandma asked me what I encountered, and I told her about the neighbor that I saw, and she asked me to describe him properly. So I said, a bit balding, just a few strands of hair, deep-set eyes, high cheekbone, skinny, wearing singlet, blue shorts, looks human except no mouth, and squats in a funny way. I mimicked the squat to demonstrate. My grandparents looked at each other and said they know who it is. That uncle used to ride Trishaw One, but he died 2 years ago. Classic. Nice. Very, very nice. Wow.
Choka.
I like the detail also, like the little detail, like, you know how if you're a trishaw rider, you would have a pretty funny way of squatting because your work, right, would have given you kind of a bow-legged kind of posture. So when you squat, it will be quite different.
You know, I've not seen a trishaw rider. I'm too young for that.
You can look at the old photos of, yeah, like, you're not immortal, ma. You know, but I remember. You know, but yeah, I mean, the details are there. The no mouth thing is a very fascinating piece of logic, you know. It could suggest that he's being punished so that even during the 7 month, he cannot eat.
Yeah, so, you know, he's under some kind of, you know, special judgment or something, you know. Maybe last 7 months he go back late lah. Then this is his punishment, you know.
But I think definitely you're saying that ghosts, if they don't have food, they go to the rubbish and eat.
Mm.
So that's why he's...
Was he eating from the rubbish chute? Or he was eating, near the rubbish chute?
Yeah, squatting down and then like sniffing glue or just squatting one corner.
I think sniffing is interesting because maybe that's all he can do. He can't eat ma.
Go no mouth.
So he can only sniff lor.
Mm.
Now I feel sorry for that ghost. Poor thing. To spend 7 months, it's like I invite you to the buffet, then after that, oh, I didn't pay for you, so you can only look, okay? Sian, right?
Okay, before the message disappear again, I better read this out first. We seem to have a dead joke war going on.
Wow.
Enter new candidate. L. Okay, John, don't read, I ask you,
Okay.
Where do the brightest ops get noticed? In the four obs list.
I like this one. Okay. L, I'm your champion. Okay.
Guys, if you keep this coming, we can produce every year. You know, 2023 joke of the year, 2024. Okay.
Obs list.
Okay. Now back to the story. Got a lot of comments coming in. What can't eat? So there's belief that you can't stare at candles, is it? ADPTR says, I personally look at the candles because I find them pretty and comforting. But I also understand that at the 7 month and funeral, people say, don't look at the photo.
Yeah.
Don't look at the coffin. Because in some confessions, when you look at the coffin or you look at the direction of the deceased and the ghost thought, you connect with me, they follow you back.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why you don't look at.
I was taught that as a child, that whenever we walk past, avoid that funeral, don't look, you know, and for years and years, I would like stare at the floor, stare at my shoelace. And then whenever I accidentally looked, right, I actually would freak myself out to the point of getting a fever. So the warning came true, you know, I gave myself a fever just by panicking and refusing to sleep that night. So who knows, man? But the logic is that, if there is a spirit there or there are multiple spirits there, then you go and stare, then they stare back, and then, you know, fall in love with you, then follow you home.
All right, correct.
So it can happen, right? It's not because of anything other than the fact that a funeral or something like that would have a gathering of spirits. And therefore, your chances of spotting something in the eye, you know, of meeting across the room like a romantic movie, are higher, right? So don't look, lor. You know, I think it's a wise pantang to follow, you know.
So the one part of the story that got me thinking is he turned back and there's nobody. Everything is quiet. There's like... So that makes me wonder if he don't usually see ghosts.
Right.
Could he have walked into a realm, to a fissure in our world and their world? Because there was one confession before of a jogger who jogged at Bedok Reservoir.
Yeah.
And she jogged through this part where then she felt everything change. The sound changed. The time changed. As if it was a bubble. And as she ran out of the bubble, there was a hand that sort of about to grab her. Remember the story? The jogger?
Yeah, definitely.
The scars at the back. So this sounds like another one who just accidentally walked into that realm.
I think this is different from that one for me. That one was clearly something that was part of the influence of the entity, you know, that it was trapping you or something. It's like you walk into a web, you know, like walk into the creature's web. But this one, I feel like it might be a symptom of just the shock of what he saw, you know, and when fear takes you in that sudden shocking kind of way, right, your senses just sharpen, right? I mean, he didn't. It was unlikely that there were a lot of people around before that anyway, right? 10 o'clock near the rubbish chute, I'm thinking, it probably was no one there. But you were suddenly aware of how desolate it was.
Oh, like he was frightened and he's like trying to find people to run to, then he realized there's nobody. So it's a realization.
So you become so aware. We even see it depicted in the movies, right? In that moment before the race starts or before you do the challenge, suddenly like the sound becomes then you, everything is sharp and you see things almost as if they're in slow motion, right? It's because your body is just working at hyper speed, you know, to stay safe, to stay alert, right? So I think it's quite explainable, I think, by just sort of human responses, you know, because anyway, after that, then he went home and it was his home, lah. You know, way spookier if he went into his bathroom, came out, and then his mother, his grandparents were there with no mouth or so, right? Then different, lah.
Then you press the lift button, lift never come down.
I press the button, my lift never comes down.
You know that part when I read the confession, right, I thought, did he dead, like the sixth sense, like he realizes, you know, the lift's not working, lift, you know, he realizes he's dead. That cannot be, lah. He's semi confession. He must still be alive, lah.
Okay, so this is the best twist that this story can have. Okay, the last line of the story becomes: my grandparents look each other and they said they know who it is. That uncle used to ride Trishaw one, but you died 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah, like if this one was a movie, like, maybe, like, you know, we can pull this off.
Yeah, can you imagine, right? He went home, he opened the door, he go to the bathroom, the grandparents are looking like, isn't this one the dead one? So yes, we shall, when we make our short film, okay, we will make this.
Man. Yeah.
But the image is creepy, and I think the most creepy moment, which some of you in the group have pointed out, right, is the fact that you go walk up to the third floor and then he's right there. Like, that is a scene out of The Eye. Remember the little boy squatting, eating candles, right, and then appearing on the floor, and then after that you move up and he's still there. You know, so it's a classic Asian ghosty kind of thing to do. And super creepy.
RSVP by Grace says John's ending very nice. Okay, you got one fan who will watch a movie already.
Yay.
Nikki also said, through the Gaganta dimension where hollows used to come into human world. Wow, this is not my knowledge, really. Beyond my knowledge.
Interesting. Really.
Gaganta dimension.
Wow.
Maybe we should bring Nikki on as a guest.
Wow.
What did I miss? Did I miss anything? You have been executing powerlifting, gaining size. People talking about getting fat. Halama.
What is this? Put yourself in his shoes. I will be scared shitless because it was basically following him. Yeah. So even though the thing didn't look back at him, but he knew that the boy had looked.
This thing will know when you look. They know that you look because they don't need eyes to see. It's all about intent, right? But what was interesting when I read the confession is, you walk, and he turn. Hey, shit! I just locked my candle.
Yeah. True.
For those of you who do not know what's that knocking candle thing and a turning head thing, John, you want to regale us with your knowledge of the pantang?
So the belief is that there are three lights, right? Divine lights that sort of protect you at any time, right? So one light is located above your head or on your forehead, and then one light is over each shoulder. So the belief is that if at any time you feel threatened or you feel, you know, supernaturally there's danger around, don't turn one side because you block or you extinguish one of your lights. Try to turn slowly and face completely so that all three lights are intact. Then your protection is still there, lah. But also for the same reason, some say that you mustn't have a fringe of hair because they believe that that will block the light that's in the center of your forehead. So,
yeah, sigh. I got a lot of forehead real estate, no? So I think my light, like Taman, can put the 5-star and the crescent moon. You look at how far I can go. I look at Wong Fei Hong, lah.
Voila, I think that one you become the scarier thing, lah. The ghost will run from you.
Or Robocop. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
So someone says here, okay. Nyana Selvi Krishnan says, elders have told me, if you see a funeral or coffin, say the Mrityunjay mantra. It is a prayer for Shiva to receive the deceased. Praying for them increases your good karma. The Mrityunjay mantra. Okay, please look it up. Yeah, that's a good thing. Rather than being scared when you see a coffin or a funeral, contribute to good karma, lah. Pray for them. Pray for them to move on. I mean, that's a very good approach to these things.
Actually, I want to share something, guys. I got this from Lesi Ajahn Wasin. He taught me how to give merits. So we always say give merit. What does give merits mean? Most of you right. are either Buddhist, or even if not Buddhist, you're a free thinker. You may hear things like the Thai Buddhism will say, oh, we give merits to the Kumantong, right? Or we give merits to the spirit. What does this giving of merits mean? It is believed that for the deceased to reincarnate or to move on towards the light, they need to accumulate a certain amount of merits. Maybe in their life, they've done a lot of bad deeds, not done enough good deeds. They are now at a deficit and they cannot move on. And they have no human body or vessel to continue performing any good deeds, which is why some spellcasters would tie these Kumantong, tie these spirits to do their bidding. And in return for doing their bidding, the spellcaster would impart the merits to these spirits for them to move on. So the question is, there is no button to press or screen to swipe for your merits giving. And the lessee was telling me, when you think of happy thoughts, there is a sense where you get this goosebump, this overwhelming internal energy that runs through your spine. The happy moment that when you do something good, you make a donation, you help someone falling down, and someone says, thank you for saving my life. You feel this little shiver. You get that, right? So he says, when he was at my house and he was saying, okay, let's do this merit giving thing, think of happy thoughts. Think of all the good karma that you have done for people and they have thank you. Then I thought of it, I visualize it. And the good thing about it is my visualization skill is pretty strong, right? It's one of the gifts I have. And I could vision it so clearly and I felt this whole overwhelming goosebump in me. And he says, release. Release. At that point of time, you release. And he says, I give this merit to all the beings around me. That's how you give the merit. It's not just by saying, oh, I give you merit. So again, when you're burning the paper, right? And I mean, end of 7 months is coming. If you want to burn the paper, yes, you could just burn the paper and say, yeah, I think of the intention and all, almost as a byproduct. But if you want to make it really effective, as you're holding the paper, you internalize it. It says, this one is for the hiati or for the ancestors. And you get that sense again. You get that whole goosebumpy thing. And then you burn. That's where you release the energy.
I mean, I do believe. I mean, it's the same as, you know, when you walk past a shrine or you walk past a temple, you know, it may not be a temple you are familiar with. It may not be a faith that you know, but to stop and to just spend a moment, you know, in silence and send a message, you know, all these little communications count for something, you know, in a way that we cannot explain, we cannot quantify, right? You know, you cannot keep score, but it makes a difference, you know? So speaking of a good feeling, right? I'm having a good feeling now because Nana Selvi is telling me, wow, John, your Sanskrit pronunciation, good. Yay. Oi. I get A star. Thank you very much. Thank you. Nice. I'm just so worried I get it wrong, but okay, thank you so much. David Chang has a good idea. I think it will work. We must try this one day. Three lights extinguish, use a lighter to get them back. It feels like this is a moment I would have seen in a Hong Kong ghost comedy where the light is extinguished, they take two lighter and like, then put the red underwear on the head. It sounds totally. So if no one has ever done that in a Hong Kong film or any comedy film, let's be the first.
But my windproof, how? Go no fire.
Die. Take the kitchen one, the light the gas stove one.
Go a lot of forehead, see?
That's it. Stick it to your forehead. Okay. All right, man. We have just created cinematic history. Okay.
All righty, folks. I think we have come to the end of the show today. I hope you enjoyed this particular episode. Navinet is asking for school teachers.
Yes.
All right. Let me go and dig.
Noted.
There might be some stories that would make the cut for Friday Night Live. I enjoyed today.
It was good. It was good to spend almost an entire month talking about 7 months. You know, this is the first time we've given it so much attention. You know, I think we got lots of ideas out of it, lots of theories.
You know, like KK Hing was saying, sometimes we know we go on the fringe and all that. He's like, not scary enough. One full month of keras classic horror for you all. Now we can we go on the fringe next time, really? Cut us some slack. Okay, there's one series I want to pull, John, and maybe if you guys can let me put a poll before we go off. I'm thinking about it, but I'm not sure whether you guys will love it. would you like a episode of failed confessions? All the bloopers, all the cannot make it. The starting very nice, then the ending is like, well, that kind of... Let me know, then I can prepare it. Because I have some with me where the starting was built up was good. I was very involved, engaged in it.
Mm.
Then the ending is like, quah, 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 quah.
Yeah. Quah. Mm.
But it's funny, right? I mean, it's such a good, semi-good confession that if it goes nowhere, it's such a waste. So if you guys want me to put that together and you think it's worth the time, John, you can vote on that as well. Let me know.
I feel it might be mean.
Mean,
it might be a little bit mean because people give you the confessions not to be judged.
That's true.
And it's not their fault if the confession doesn't meet a certain standard, you know?
No, like, remember the taxi driver, the keras one, the keras, man.
But that's that you met the person lah. That's an encounter, ma.
No, these are people I met lah, but I may not know. Yeah, that's true lah.
The person didn't submit.
Right, yeah. Trusted okay.
You as the custodian.
Correct.
You know,
correct,
it's
correct.
Like, hey, read my diary, please, and then hey, don't judge my diary lah.
Yeah, cannot.
You know,
cannot.
So correct. I feel that confessions to us are given out of faith and out of trust. You know, but totally, I'm the last person to say this, right? I'm here. I joined this whole thing because we love to judge horror films and say when they're crappy. Mm. So I love to judge and critique. But I think with confessions, I think every confession comes from a place of sincerity, you know? And if it's a little bit, sometimes a bit too familiar or, you know, we've seen many of that before, they didn't know that.
Very good. So we'll not do this. I like it. We need to protect the sanctity of our confessions and our confessors.
You know, I think everyone... If you experience something and you want to share, you know, that's what we're here for, you know, and I think if it makes it to the show, that's only because it has a certain sort of something that we can talk about. It opens up.
Okay, you know, I will put in some of the funny ones that I can, that I know it will not be offensive to them and will not make them feel bad. Those I'll share with you.
I think the quack 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 ones are quite fun.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Yeah, with the or surprise ending. I think that's good, you know? Yeah.
Okay,
so yeah,
like the Keras taxi driver fella.
Yeah.
He actually, it was because of his story that we started the whole Keras thing, remember?
Totally.
Okay, very nice, very nice. All
right, man. Any last thoughts about... Okay, so because it's the end of Hungry Ghost Month, right?
Mm.
I want to go back to what I said at the start of Hungry Ghost Month, you know? So... Regardless of the fear and the pantangs and the encounters and, you know, the orbs and all that, right? Remember that this is a time of compassion. It exists because there are beings that need compassion and there are beings who can give compassion. So if you know which one you are, then do your job lah.
Okay. And as we end off tonight, I'd like to say that, you know, there may be ups and downs in life, people that piss you off, you pissing people off, but it's important to have love and compassion in your heart. Never harbor ill intent, never harbor hate, because you only hurt yourself in the process. Any last words, John?
No, that was it.
Okay, good night, everybody. We'll see you guys next Friday on Friday Night Live, where I do not know what's the theme yet, but well, we have fun. I think I will try the school one next week. Okay, good night, everybody.
Ooh. Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye.
What did you find? Bye. You are listening to Supernatural Confessions.